Clint? Good. How fitting. Keep fighting the good fight. You're going to see. Very fitting. Very fitting. That's what we do this for. That's what I travel for. That's what Fassel travels for. Gene travels for. Salvador. That's what everybody travels for. You know, it's, you get to see a video of that, and it's just awesome. You know, it's to be able to see you guys be able to do stuff like this is cool. So I just would like to introduce myself. I'm Matt Becker from Iowa. You've probably seen my wife, Hallie, and my two little girls, Lily and Ellie. They're part of the reason that I do this too. And it's something that we were commissioned to do is to lead our children, to lead our families. And that's also something that I'm putting on as weights on your back too. My little girls are going to be following in your guys' footsteps. You guys are the ones paving the way for my children. So I want you to think about that. Not just mine, but everybody's. So I thank you for being here because you're taking the time out of your summer to be able to put some knowledge in your heads to be able to raise good families and raise good kids. So anyway, let's open up with a word of prayer quick. Father, I just want to thank you for a wonderful opportunity to come down here to stand before not only you, but these kids to just show your love, show your grace, show how amazing you can work through things. I just pray that you can give us the attention this morning. It's an hour of our time. An hour is not very many throughout a week, so we just pray that you can just leave all our baggage at the door to focus on you, give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. Please just use me as your podium, as your stool. Leave all my selfishness and my gratifications at the door. And let's do this. In your son's name, pray. Amen. Okay. So, we're going to go through, this is a Bible camp, so we are going to go through. Yes, sir. I got a couple videos. Can everybody see me good now? We're good? I'm all right. This is Bible camp. So we're going to go through our Bibles. We've got a few passages. I haven't been doing this for 50 years like Gene has, so I can't stand up here and memorize Scripture as well as he can. So we're going to go through the Bible. I always just go through, I don't know the spiritual condition of everybody in this room. So I always just like to go through, you got the table of contents in the beginning of your Bible. You know, some of your Bibles have the leaflets cut out of them, some have tabs that show where the books of the Bible are. Those are there to help us. Don't be embarrassed if you can't figure out where a book in the Bible is. That's what they give us a table of contents for. So take a bookmark, open up, it should be in the beginning of your Bible, and stick it in there if you don't know where your books are, because we're going to go through them. Okay? And then, you know, there's the books of the Bible. We've got the Old Testament, we've got the New Testament. So it kind of splits it in half. We're going to be in both sections. So recognize that Old versus New Testament, and then we'll give chapters, which are probably going to be the big, bold numbers in your Bible. And then when we say verse, that's the little numbers that come afterwards. So does everybody have a Bible in here? Or does anybody, everybody got them? Awesome. Okay, we'll get started. And I always like to ask a question when we start. Why should I care about spiritual warfare? You know, this camp's about spiritual warfare. Why should we care about it? You know, we look at it at different angles that either one, we don't think it's real. You know, I can't see it. We're you know, like me, I'm a very visual person. If I got to feel, I got to touch things, you know, sometimes to make them feel real. You know, spiritual warfare, we can't see it. We can't touch it necessarily. You know, so maybe it's there. I don't know if it is or if it isn't. But I'm just going to, out of sight, out of mind, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to care about it because, you know, I don't know if it's true or not. You know, or you can have the attitude of, yes, I believe that it's true, but I'm going to stick my head in the sand and be like an ostrich and just ignore it the fact that it's there. If any of those are your attitude, you've already lost. Satan's already won. Okay? So, those are the easy ways out. And we don't want to do that. Warfare is not easy. You know, if it was the word warfare, the root word is war. It's hard. Okay? So, you know, me growing up, I grew up, a little bit of background, I grew up in a church. I always just had the attitude, if I'm saved, that's good enough. You know, I know that I'm going to heaven. I can do what I need to do. I can live my life. I can party on the weekends. I can do with women whatever I want to do. You know, God give me 1 John 1:9, forgive all my sins. I'm good. That was me. That's how I lived my life. Until God opened my eyes to say that that wasn't right. That was spiritual warfare. And we're going to get into that a little bit. So, Fassel talked about, I don't know if you've heard, I wasn't able to catch his class. I did Sunday over at Mark's church there in town. But he talked a lot about spiritual warfare, about physically having it happen and seeing it with his own eyes and experiencing it person to person, one on one. And it's hard for us in the United States, I think, sometimes to grasp that, because Satan's number one goal is distraction. And it's very easy. He doesn't have to work very hard in the United States, is my feeling. There's so many things that we're worried about. Do I got the newest cell phone? Do I got the most likes on, what is that, Facebook? Instagram? Actually, I don't even know. Bookface, Instagram. So, who follows you, who does what, right? It's a distraction. You're not worried about it. You know, your cars, your money, your jobs. It's all necessary things, because there's people like Fassel, like Salvador, that need, like Gene, that goes across, that have missions that we need to work to be able to support them. You know, that's part of our duty. That's part of our thing that God's commissioned us to do. Not everybody's going to be able to do that. So, you've got to find a balance to be able to do that. So, in warfare, and I know the guys, I have not been in the military. I've got a lot of family members that have been, that have taught me a lot of things. One of my best friends was in the Army, that he and I have shared a lot of things. And I can talk about it, but I can't talk about it from a in-person experience like some of these guys in the room can. But in any type of warfare, you need to know your enemy. How can you fight effectively if you don't know what you're fighting or who you're fighting? You can't, right? So, what the first one I'm going to go to is Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament, chapter 28, and it's verses 12 through 19. And what this is going to do, Satan is our number one enemy. So this is going to let us know who's our enemy. You know, I like to, don't feel bad, I like to talk. I was horrible at school. Horrible in school. And part of the reason was just having somebody sit there and talk to me all day and not interact. And so if I ask questions, we do whatever. If you got things, go ahead. You know, I'm talking with you. I'm not talking at you here. So Satan, you know, so many things depict him as what? When somebody says Satan or the devil, give me one. What's one thing that pops up in your head? Horns and pitchforks. Huh? Yeah, right? Yeah. Gene Simmons' tongue, right? Well, I don't know if his is split, but. So, yeah, little guy running around with a pitchfork with horns stabbing you with fire, ball of fire or something like that, right? Okay, that's not our enemy. And God will tell you, not me. So, verse 12. Son of man, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God. So he's talking about Satan. You had the seal of perfection. You're full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald. And the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of the fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. Doesn't sound like a guy with a little red suit and a pitchfork, does it? He was God's right-hand man. So do you think that we as created beings by God can outsmart God's right-hand man? Might be tough to do. Right? Think of it from that aspect of that's your enemy. But there's one flaw with your enemy. What do you suppose it is? Arrogance. Right? The book's been written. The Bible's complete. It's done. Period. Over. Satan lost. But he's too arrogant to accept the fact that he lost. So we're already on the winning team. How much easier is it going to be to fight for somebody that you know has already won? Nobody likes to lose. Right? You're already on the winning team. You can't lose. I think Mark said it last night that if you're doing what God desires you to do, the will of God will not be wrong. It might have even been on that video we just watched. Maybe Gene just said that on one of you two did. The will of God is not wrong. You can't fail. Okay? So, Satan, sly, just like a fox. Other cool thing about that video, I just laughing that whole time they're doing that video. The shield, the soldier that was standing there with the shield and had all the spears and the arrows and everything in it. Ephesians 6, when it's talking about the full armor of God. Does anybody know what the shield is for? To do what? Go ahead. To stop what? From who? The enemy. To stop the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's what the shield of faith is for. So, you guys hunt, I hunt up there. Yeah, we got some of the biggest whitetails in the country. I like it, right? Y'all can come up there if you want to. See, I'm already talking like you. So, Satan's thing is, and I don't do the archery. I actually traded my bow for a muzzle loader because I never got the use out of my bow. I wish I could. But, so it, with your bow, you've got your pack full arrows, right? What do you call that? Your quiver, okay? So imagine Satan here. He's got a quiver full of arrows. Each arrow is a different arrow. So picture this. He knows what arrow is going to defeat you, defeat me, defeat you. He knows the right arrow to pull. So he can shoot the distraction that he can get you with. Maybe it's pornography. Pornography is a distraction. Maybe it's sex. Sex is a huge distraction. We can do the normal things. We can do the drugs. You know, we can do the booze. That's all stuff that we all hear. We all get that chirped in our ears all the time. You know, stay away from sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, that's something that just, it's like, it's cliche. I don't like it, right? But there's things that are distractions that I don't feel fit that category, but they do more damage sometimes than what those can do. And there again, it's these devices. It's your family. It's your friends. It's your boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't think I can go to church tonight. You know, I normally read my Bible at night, but I'm hanging out with this girl or this boy, and they'll probably think I'm weird if I'm going to open my Bible and talk to them about it or say, hey, this is my study time. My family, oh, they don't go to church. I'll just use that for an excuse. I don't have to go because my mom or dad doesn't go. Those are arrows. Satan's throwing those at you, those thoughts. He's throwing those at you. We're going to watch a video quick. It's a short, I got two videos I'm going to watch. This one's a skit, and I'm going to explain it a little bit when it gets pulled up. Clint can pull it up. Yeah, go ahead. So the skit, there's going to be a guy in the road. There's no words on this. It's just music. Okay? The guy that's going to be in the robe is going to be portraying Christ. So have that in your mindset when you watch this. And then I'll fill you in afterwards. Go ahead.
Somebody get up for the...
And you think spiritual warfare isn't real? You just saw it. Relates well, doesn't it? Hits home. It does me. What I love about that is that following Jesus isn't always easy. Right? This isn't a prosperity gospel of you go to church, you accept Christ into your life, all your problems are going to go away. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't. That's war. That's what it is. So, that girl in the video, you take good from things, right? Carrie's story, Vassal's wife Carrie. Phenomenal story. You take the bad, and you turn it into good. That girl, let's say, put yourself in those shoes. What kind of story, what kind of testimony can she walk around and show and tell? It's huge. It's never too late. God hasn't given up on you. He never will. Did you notice in the video when it kept panning back? He was always standing in a corner. I'm right here. Look at me. I know what's best for you. That stuff ain't good. It's going to hurt you. What happened? It's like turning a... Anybody ever ate frogs before? I have. I'm not even from down south and I ate frogs. Like putting a frog in a pot of boiling water and you creep it up. He's swimming around. He's saying, man, life is good. I'm swimming around. I got no cares in the world. Pretty soon it's hotter. Boom. He's done. Just like that video. The farther that you get away from this, the harder it can be to go back. Because those distractions, those arrows that Satan's throwing at you are going to be more edifying to you, if you will. They're going to taste better. They're going to look better. Until pretty soon, you're at the bottom and you're looking up and you're saying, holy crap, how did I get down this far? But you know what? That's a good place to be. Because if you do right with it, you will learn from it and you will change the world. Just like Mark's video last night. Go back up. God's waiting right there for you. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand upon the door and I knock. God's knocking. Video shows he's sitting there, he's waiting. Come back, come to me. Let's go. Let's do this. He's a gentleman. He didn't burst in right away. Did you notice that in that video? He didn't come in there right away and grab her when she was doing all her stuff. She kind of had the inkling, oh, I think I'm going to go back. But no, this is better over here. I'm going to stay over here. He just said, okay, it's your choice. That's what's amazing about God. God doesn't force anything upon us. It's free will. It's our choice. That's something that somebody can never take from you, is your choice. So, warfare is not easy, right? We all know that. We can live through it. We've experienced it. You look at those pictures. I don't know who brought those pictures, but they're awesome. Back there, those big bigger sheets that are laminated that show the soldiers. If you haven't looked at those, you need to go look at those after class and read the captions on those. So, there's going to be things happen in your life that you're not going to be able to control. There again, like that guy was talking about last night. Those different points. Those are the points that he was giving you to be able to help you to adapt, to overcome. You're going to have thoughts pop in your head. You're going to be exposed to things. Unfortunately, cell phones, there's more information on here that you will never need and that I wish was never available, but you see it. It's there. Once you see a thought, or once you see a vision or a picture, or you have something in your mind, you can't lose that. That's going to be there. You're going to close your eyes and that's what you're going to see. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be there. You're going to see that. Those are arrows. Those thoughts. Whatever pops up on here when it doesn't mean to, if you're on a computer, whatever, you get the ad comes up that shows a half-naked lady. You didn't ask for somebody to put that advertisement on there. Why do you think it's there? Satan uses that as a distraction. It sounds crazy to say, Satan isn't putting those images on my computer. Yeah, he is. That's the enemy trying to pull you away. There is a lot of good biblical information on the internet and on a computer. I use it a lot. And all of them have ads that pop up. So here you are trying to do what God wants you to be doing and learning His Word, and you got these images popping up, whatever they may be. Okay? Don't let them take root. Get it away. Pastor up at our church said something that stuck with me, is you can't control a bird from landing on your head. Right? I can't stop it. If it wants to land on my head, it's going to land on my head. Can you stop it from building a nest? Right? You don't have to let it sit up there and build a nest up on your head. Get it gone, get it off of there. Right? So, next one we're going to flip to is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to go verse 3 and 4. Love hearing the pages turn. That means you're engaged in the battle. Anybody need help? Don't be afraid. Raise your hand. There's plenty of adults here to help you. If you can't find what you're looking for, just let one of us know. You guys good?
What chapter?
Chapter 4. So it'll be the big, bold number 4. And we're going to go verse 3 and 4. So second. Here you did I say first or second? Did I tell you first? I did, right? So 4. And then verse 3 and 4. Got it? Yep. So then your little number would be 3. Yep. So your New Testament. Right over here. Looks like page 657. You guys good? Hey, look at that. Technology. Yes. I love it. Good job, Clint. Okay. It's up on the board as well. So, we need to know how to control ourselves, right? So we're talking about these arrows. These images, these thoughts that keep popping up in our head. We need to know how to control ourselves. You need to know your weakness, and you need to know your temptations. And you got to stay away from them. So, chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, that your sanctification, or you can look at it as your holiness or your purity, That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Okay? You want to get kicked in the gut? It's not only harmful to you, that junk that you're filling your minds with, you're spitting in God's face. Verse 8, skip down to verse 8. God gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell in us. So we're going to say, I'm going to take all that crap in a body that God designed the Holy Spirit to indwell in. Think about that. Do you get the fact that God lives in you? Do you understand that? How huge that is? You hear, oh, we're going to look at Elijah here in a minute. You look at all the stories in the Bible, and you're like, I mean, the wall of Jericho, fall down. Really? Joshua's going to march around there 7 times. The same God that does miracles like that, it's our same God too, guys. He didn't change. So we got to know our weaknesses. We got to know our temptations. One thing to take away from this, if you can, is put that thought in your mind, that conscious thought that my body is a temple. And I'm not talking, yeah, it's good to go to the gym and you got to go take care of yourself, you got to run, whatever. I get the physical side of things that you want to take care of yourself as well. But have verse 8 in your head. God made your body to have the Holy Spirit dwell in it. So when you got those thoughts coming, you got that bird landing, get off, dirty bird. Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm going to show him honor. It's just that I missed that. I was late. I missed the honor guard this morning. I wish I could have caught that. You know? You show honor to guys like that. To people who fought and died for your country, for our freedom, so we can sit here and do these things. You show honor. You let them go to dinner first, to breakfast first. You go up, you shake their hand, you thank them for their services that they've done. God deserves honor like that as well. Okay. So, we looked at the battle. We looked at our enemy. How do we beat him? Right? We all face it every day. How do we beat our battles? How do I not click on that screen? How do I not follow that link? How, when I got my buddy sitting with me in class at school or whatever, and we're sitting and we're laughing at this girl because she don't look the way that we think she should look. How do we say, no, man, I don't want a part of that? Okay? Keep your cool. Satan loves chaos. Okay? Chaos does nothing more than add fuel to the fire. Okay? I'm going to tell a short story. Navy SEAL. Name's Mike Day. Anybody ever heard of him before? I encourage you to look up his story. It's pretty cool. It was April 6, 2007 in Iraq. He was told there was a building that they needed to go retrieve some information out of. It was supposedly an empty building. He's the first man through the door. Walked in. 4 soldiers. Heavily armed. First thing that met him at the door. He was shot 27 times. Shot the rifle right out of his hand. Okay? He had a pistol strapped to his leg. He grabbed his pistol. He shot and killed every single one of them guys. Every single one of them. And then he went through each and every room of that house and made sure there was nobody else. And then he walked out, walked himself to the medevac helicopter, and climbed aboard. And he never laid down his pistol. How can a guy do that? Muscle memory. Training. Right? Walk through the door. If he got shot, guns out of his hand, what are you going to do? His training, his muscle memory told him, he didn't even have to think about it. Grab my pistol and shoot. Go. That was over. Still chaotic, but you keep your cool. You go back to your training. You do what you're supposed to do. You clear the rest of the house. Things are good. Let's go get help. Right there is a... That's cool. I mean, that's phenomenal. Right? So, what are your muscles memorizing? There's a thought. Are your muscles memorizing this? I'm going to pick on Gene again because I just think that's amazing because my mind does not work that way. To stand up here and quote the book of Romans without looking at it. What is his muscle memory in his mind doing? It's going back to what he feeds it. What he does. If you do not put the Word of God in your soul, you're getting shot. What are you going to have to pull? You're going to reach to your hip and there's going to be nothing there. You don't have it. It's not in the bank. It's not sitting there. You can't use it. Go back to our freedom of our country. Facile. Is there more places on this earth that this is illegal than it's legal? A lot of places. So what happens when somebody knocks on your door and they tell you, or they come through this door and they tell us, give us your Bibles. You can't have it anymore. Nothing on the internet, nothing on the phones. They take your Bibles. They're gone. How am I going to go back and I'm going to find the scripture verses that God tells me to lean on Him, that He protects me? How am I going to find those? If I never open that book and read them, and I don't plug them in, how am I going to find them? They're not going to be there. So your muscle memory, put it in there, guys. Put it in there. It's tough. Satan wants to distract you. That's his whole goal. The more he distracts you, the less important that your Bible will become. The Word of God will not take root in your heart, and in your souls, and in your mind, if you don't allow it to be put in. And I'm going to take a rabbit trail here. Your generation, what do you guys hear? Nothing but bad, right? That's all they do. Everybody harps on you that your generation's crap. Never going to amount to anything. Not ever going to be able to do anything good. I beg to differ. I believe in you guys because you are here. Like I said in the beginning, you guys are going to be the ones running this country while my kids are growing up. And I thank you for that because you're here. Do you know how bright your light will shine when there's darkness all around you as this world's becoming? How much easier is somebody going to see the beacon of hope flash on you? So when they got a problem, they can come to you and say, I just watched you deal with that. How did you do that? Let me tell you about the hope that's within me. Let me share you my story. You know how easy it's going to be for you guys? You're going to have great opportunities to strap on the sandals and go. To be able to spread the word. Because it's not It's not prevalent. People doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. You look after, a lot of you guys probably weren't even, maybe you weren't even born yet. I don't know, it might make me feel old. I'm not that old. But after the towers went down, the World Trade Center went down, churches were overflowing with people. It's a wake-up call from God. Saying, wake up, guys. Come on. But what happened? They were full a couple weeks after, maybe a month afterwards, and then what? What'd Satan start doing? Get me away from it. Now look at the churches. You can go to all the churches you want that can, they can stand up and sing songs, change light bulbs, do all this stuff, and not give you 1 ounce of biblical truth. Oh, but I feel good. I went to church. I'm good for the week. I'm good. Religion is a distraction. Okay. So, my little girls have watched, I laugh at this because it is funny. You ever seen the Minions or heard of the Minions? Those little yellow guys? Okay. Lily was on a kick where she wanted to watch that. So I had to sit down and I'd watch it with her. And it's hilarious, the beginning of that movie, where they're searching for somebody to follow. They are created, whatever the heck they are, they are created to serve, to follow. They can't do nothing on their own. They're created to serve and follow somebody. So are we. We're just like a minion. God designed us to have that need to follow, to serve. It's a built-in thing that we're designed to do. So we've got that, I call it a hole, right? The other little thing I'll compare with my kids is you've all seen those buckets with the lids, it's got like the star, the triangle, the square, the circle. You've all seen those probably. You got to teach the kids their shapes and their colors and stuff. You got to put the circle on the circle. You can't put it in the star. It ain't going to fit, right? That's right here. God has a hole that only He will fit into. You can take your booze. You can take your sex. You can take your women. Girls, you can take your guys. You can take your sports. You can take your hunting. You can take your family. You can do whatever you want to do and try to fill that void. And it's going to be a little bit of satisfaction. And it's going to give you the taste of, I want more, 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 and more. Why do you keep wanting more, more, and more, and more? Because there's still a void there that isn't filled. Because God is the only one that's going to be able to fulfill that hole that's in your heart. Okay, I got one more video. That's going to show that it's not going to be hard. Or that it's not going to be easy, I mean. Okay? That things are going to be hard. And this video is going to give you a line that I hope sticks in your head because it's stuck in mine. And we'll see if you pick it up. Go ahead. Wow, right? What do you suppose is the saying that I want you to remember out of there? Anybody? Get up, let's go. Don't quit. Throw me another one. Never quit. What were you going to say? Were you going to say something? No? How about draw a line in the sand? That's your moment to look inside yourself. Can I do it? I want you to draw a line in the sand. You pass that battle, move forward. Draw another line in the sand. Cross that battle. Draw a line in the sand. You go, and you go, and you go, and you go. My best buddy's mom just died. Just lost the battle with cancer. The last words that he was able to say to his mom, he whispered in her ear, and he said, "It's okay, Mom. Don't feel bad. You won your race." We got about 10 minutes. I'm not going to go through what I was going to. I'm going to tell you about it, and I want to give you something to jot down and something to read. I'm just going to paraphrase through a few things. This right here, I love that video because it fires you up. Am I right? It does. It fires you up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Step up and go. Right? That isn't coming just from a Navy SEAL. Do you know that God tells you that? The story of Elijah is in 1 Kings. Write this down because I want you to read it. It starts 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, 19, runs through there. Read those and get the background of what Elijah's doing. Elijah's performing miracles with God. He's proven that the idols that are getting worshipped of Baal, is that how, blah, or how do you, I always say Baal, how do you say it? Baal? That is not the true God. That the God of Israel is the true God. So he's going through and he's challenging these guys that are teaching this stuff. He's challenging them to say that your God is smaller than the true God. Okay? So he performs all these different miracles that God uses and God does. He kills all these, basically all these priests of the Baals. And there's this lady that comes after him. Her name's Jezebel. She comes after him. Elijah finds out and he lays down and he cries and says, "I'm done. I quit." After all that he just watched God do, you would think, man, he's a mighty warrior. He's going to be, you know, he's never going to be able to lose. That's just like us. We're not going to win every battle that we're in. We are going to win some. But when God throws another one at you, you're going to think, it's too tough. I can't do it. Chapter 19, it tells us three times, God says, "Get up and go. Get up and go. I am not finished with you yet." That's what we have to do. We have to get up and go. We got to draw a line in the sand, get up and go. So, is it worth it? This is what we're gonna close with. 2 Timothy chapter 4, New Testament, towards the back of your Bible. You're in Thessalonians. It's right after that. Keep flipping back. Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Verse 8 says, "In the future is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. What are you going to feel like when you're standing face to face? When you die and you're standing face to face, you're going to know about all those opportunities in my life to glorify you, God. We're all going to come face to face. We're all going to have that moment of, did I do what I was supposed to? Now here I am looking at the Creator who created me, who lets me spend eternity with Him because He sent His own Son to this earth. You know, if you were the only one on this earth, there would have been two of you because Christ would have still came for you. And you think you're not important? You think that just because somebody in school tells you you're not important or your parents tell you that you're no good or somebody does? Just like that video that we watched in the beginning when that girl was struggling at the end with herself, her spiritual warfare, the stuff in her head. Jesus would have came for you. You accept the fact that you're not good enough to get to heaven by your own? That the whole reason He came down was to wash your sins away? If you accept that fact, guess what? You just sealed your fate. You're in heaven for eternity. With the little kids' class, I drew two lines on the board. I did a short line and I did a long line. When you have the visual of it, look at the short line as your life. Right now it feels like this life is an eternity. It feels long for you, right? It did for me. When I was in school, I could not wait to get out of there, to get on with this. I just want to be done. But now, and I'm sure the ones sitting in the back of the room are going to agree with me, this life is a whirlwind. It goes so freaking fast, I can't hold on to it. I'm not going to get the chance to do this over, and neither are you. You got one shot at what your eternity is going to be. And hell is not a place that you're drinking beer, partying with your buddies, hanging out, having a good time by the pool, because it's hot down there. You're separated from your Father, from the one who made you forever. You can't change that. Once you're there, you're there. So I want everybody, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to close it out. And I'm going to leave a moment that I want everyone to inspect their own soul. I want you to forget about the person sitting next to you. I want you to forget about what happened in the cabins last night. I want you to forget about what you had for breakfast. And I want you to think. I want you to look in your own heart. And I want you to make that choice. I'm going to put you on the spot right now. If there's any of you in here, this is your quiet time. Go ahead, I'll just talk you through it. Close your eyes. Back away from your distractions. Examine your soul. Are you ready to take that step of faith that Jesus is your Lord? That He is your Savior? Accept the fact, and you just made the greatest choice that you can ever make. Because you're going to spend eternity forever in the greatest thing that you can ever imagine. Father, I just pray that you become real. That you take this moment of silence. That you start that fire in the souls. For anyone that's not here, I pray that they can be convicted with the choice that they need a Savior and that you have provided, just like you promised. You provided us a way out. Your Son hanging on that cross, going through what He did, and raising again is our ticket out of here. It's that easy. We don't have to walk down any aisles. We don't have to pay any money. We don't have to make any public speeches. All we have to do is accept the fact that we're not good enough and you provided a way out. We can call ourselves a follower of you. What an honor to hold. I pray that you help us to stand firm, to draw our lines in the sand, and to cross and beat our daily battles. You give us the shield to extinguish and to block the arrows that Satan so rapidly throws. We do this for you. We do this because you loved us. Greater love has no one to lay down his life for his friends. And I pray that every one of us in this room starts to lay down our own life to honor you. Let's make heaven a place where it's so crowded that it's just crazy. Let's fill it to the brim. Help us to do our job here on this earth. You're not done with us yet. Keep us moving forward. We love you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.